doctors don't order tests that can't medically be justified. And if they do, they're going to run into ethical problems.
25% of all injury claims
things out of proportion. Really no, but it's just a matter of
care. Maybe we're talking about a lot of in lack the sense of communication, that right?
You have a whole chain of people profiteering.
Some doctors may become overly cautious.
That is almost entirely bullshit.
45 million dollar verdict in Florida for death of patient following hospital's delayed transfer to emergent care. 70 million dollar verdict in Georgia for patient who lost legs due to excessive medication. 60 million dollar verdict in New York for paralyzed patient following routine back injection, and several other multi-million dollar verdicts in 2025 alone. But who is actually paying for all of this? A victim of medical malpractice can sue their doctor for failing to provide a level of care that similar competent medical providers would have provided in order to receive compensation for the harms they suffered as a result.
The patient's medical condition, the treatment options available, the resources available to the doctor, the professional standards applicable to that doctor's practice, and representations the doctor has made about his skill or knowledge will all be relevant in deciding these claims.
Medical malpractice insurance protects doctors, nurses, and other healthcare providers from financial exposure in the event that they are sued for malpractice. When a claim is reported, the insurance company reviews the provider's policy to confirm that the claim is covered. If the claim falls within the policy, the insurance company will hire and pay an attorney to defend the provider. The insurance company also pays for expert witnesses, court costs, and most other litigation expenses that come up. Because the insurance company is funding the defense, it generally has the right to control strategic decisions in the case. For example, if the provider wants to settle the claim but the insurance company doesn't, the insurance company is not obligated to listen. However, most malpractice policies do require the provider's consent before the insurance company can settle the case.
I decided to do some additional research into the way that medical malpractice insurers set their rates. According to an article by CMF Group, all of the following factors affect your rate. Number one, specialty. High-risk specialties such as surgeons tend to have higher rates due to the greater likelihood of claims. Two, licensure level and autonomy. Doctors who take on more responsibility in patient care may also face higher rates. Three, location. State laws and the prevalence of lawsuits in a region heavily influence rates. For example, California has recently had large medical malpractice suits and settlements that have caused rates to rise. On the other hand, in a state like Utah that has a cap on damages, insurance rates will be lower. 4. Claim history. Doctors with a history of frequent or severe claims may face significantly higher rates. 5. Coverage limits. If you opt for a higher policy limit, you will have to pay a higher rate accordingly. 6. Legal trends. The increasing phenomenon of nuclear verdicts or very high jury awards of millions of dollars affect insurance companies' strategies. CMF also cited how there has been a rise in private equity-backed litigation, where law firms are financially supported to go after higher settlements, further leading insurers to raise their rates.
When malpractice insurance rates rise, there is the concern that costs will be passed on to patients. The National Bureau of Economic Research notes that rising rates could cause doctors to participate in defensive medicine, the practice of performing more tests than necessary to reduce exposure to lawsuits. Thus, higher jury verdicts and settlements could be causing healthcare to be more expensive and less accessible to common people. But there is much discussion on what really causes insurance rates to rise and whether or not malpractice suits might be inadvertently making medical care worse for patients.
We've consulted Christine Stanley, a healthcare law professor at the University of Cincinnati and medical malpractice defense attorney in Kentucky. She says that many malpractice suits are due to communication failures rather than substantively defective medical care, and that doctors will engage in defensive medicine even though it does not effectively deter suits. When asked about the pros and cons of malpractice suits, this is what she had to say.
Lawsuits can sometimes lead to systemic changes, better protocols, maybe some accountability, and reinforcing the importance of maintaining high standards of care. Some negative aspects to that are perhaps the fear of litigation can lead to stress, burnout. Some doctors may become overly cautious or, again, avoid complex cases. It may foster a culture of risk aversion rather than innovation. And again, on the flip side, it can encourage meticulous documentation and a close adherence to best practices.
Dr. Peter Dunner is a radiologist from Fairfax, Virginia, with over four decades of experience in the field.
I did some medical malpractice cases, a lot of them in my career, for both plaintiff and defense, and it increases the cost of medicine. It increases the litigiousness and the bad relations between doctors and patients, and it's a waste of money. In the sense that you have a whole chain of people profiteering on this, what happens is there are two ways of being wrong in medicine. One is you're wrong because you can't be right about everything. There are some things that are not clear, and the average normal doctor would have made the same mistake without having committed what they call below standard of care. And then there's just the sins of you did the best you can, like anyone would have done, and you just didn't succeed because you couldn't. But, you know, it's not always malpractice. It's malocurrence, which is a better way to put it. Something goes wrong.
We then decided to examine the perspective of insurance agencies, such as how they respond to claims and how their rates are altered. I met with insurance agent Eric Lopez, who is an insurance agency owner that has worked at State Farm for 36 years.
So typically, like at our company, we have the FNOL, which is the first notice of loss. So we get the notice of loss. We take down the general circumstances of the claim, and then it will get assigned to a particular unit that's best, you know, that best handles that type of thing. It could be a liability claim, it could be collision, could be comprehensive, could be a homeowner claim, then it goes to its specialty unit. Our insured hits someone and that person's going to sue our insured, and that's where we get involved and we represent them.
And you defend them.
And that's part of the deal. So let's just say that the person has $500,000 of liability, our insured, and they hit somebody and they're sued for $500,000, right? Policy limit. It may cost us $1 million to defend the lawsuit, but that does not come out of their limits. So the defense is free.
Okay, very cool. Do you know if that's like for all insurance companies?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you noticed any prices increasing as a result of the increasing incidence of claims or, you know?
100%. Bigger settlements is causing the medical malpractice insurance to skyrocket. I know for a fact that's a really big thing for doctors. Like, it's very, very expensive because they're getting sued all the time. So auto rates in California have in the last 5 years gone up 50%. That has a lot to do with it, the attorney fees. And then obviously the parts and inflation has a lot to do with it too.
As the president and a founding member of DKOW Law Firm, Colin King has obtained many of Utah's largest and most significant jury verdicts in product liability and other complex tort cases, including the first eight-figure tort verdict in the state's history. We asked Mr. King what kinds of risks providers face when their insurance company decides against settling and takes a case fully towards trial, given the large exposure the provider might face.
Insurance company giving you a comfort letter is what they call it.
Stay away from
a comfort letter. Take comfort, doctor. Yeah, we're going to drag your ass down into trial for a couple of weeks, which you don't want to do, but trust us. We're going to win, and if we don't win, we'll take care of you. There was a medical malpractice crisis in the 80s that started this whole thing, and making those kinds of claims. Oh, we can't afford to pay our premiums anymore. Those damn lawyers are suing us and spurious claims and frivolous claims, et cetera, et cetera. In medical malpractice, that is almost entirely bullshit. And there's no other way to put it. It does happen to some extent, but almost entirely bullshit, because medical malpractice lawyers who know what they're doing do not file frivolous cases, period.
idea.
And a lot of the reasons why medical malpractice rates on doctors go up at times has nothing to do with any of our clients. Nothing whatsoever to do. It has to do with the ups and downs of the economy in general and the underwriting and interest rates and investment rates.
So, what can be done to fix the rising rates of malpractice insurance so that patients don't have to bear the costs? Well, it depends on what you think the real cause is, but many suggestions involve moving away from lawsuits. Ms. Stanley and Dr. Dunner suggested different approaches.
I think you could do a little bit of everything, right? We could do some legal reform, which some states have done. So there are some caps on non-economic damages to reduce excessive payouts. Sometimes mediation or arbitration can resolve conflicts faster than court trials, which if it's a little bit faster, then it reduces the cost overall. Overall, improved communication training, right, for medical providers, medical entities. All in all, just to build trust and have empathy for your patients.
Basically, there should be no plaintiffs in defense, but it should be handled by panels of doctors who objectively review the evidence and hear both sides about why they think an error was made or why it wasn't made. And a medical panel should decide without fee. It should be on a rotating basis like jury duty.
Another suggestion is that insurance companies should be pressured to be more honest about their reasons for increasing or decreasing rates, such as by providing regular reports showing how much certain factors, such as an increase in claims, affected their most recent rate changes.
As you can see, the debate is still ongoing, so let us know your thoughts. What do you think causes insurance rates to rise, and how do you think we can fix this?